Hello, this is Brittany Iwanczewski, and today we'll be talking about women's connection to music in medieval Europe. If you think about music in the past, you might think of composers and musicians like Bach, Vivaldi, Brahms, Debussy, and Beethoven. Like many fields, the textbooks on music are full of white men, and women are only mentioned as a side note in relation to these important men. This may be because historical sources created by or about women were not preserved, or were lost, forgotten, or overlooked. If we go back to medieval times, women played important roles in music. They composed, performed, upheld a musical culture at convents, and were part of audiences that shaped musical tastes. We will look at women's connection to music in two areas of medieval life, the royal court and religious institutions. We'll do this by looking at two women, a troubadour, Comtesse de Dia, and an abbess and composer, Hildegarde of Bingen. So starting with troubadours, or troubarettes, as women troubadours were called, they wrote and performed poetry and song in southern France from 1150 to 1250. They served as serious court poets, singing and playing along with their poetry for a noble audience. The poems of the troubarettes give valuable insight into life and how these aristocratic women created art and poetry. Troubadour manuscripts use notes with relative pitch, but no indication on time or rhythm. In this music, generally, the melody is the same for each stanza, but the rhythm is adapted to fit the words, and the words or poem is the most important part. There are multiple stanzas, and the pattern in the first stanza is usually repeated and developed in later stanzas. A lot of what is known about both male and female troubadours comes from Vidas, which were idealized and sometimes heavily dramatized biographies. These biographies, along with their poems, were circulated around, making these musicians and their songs known in their time. In Comtesse de Dia's Vita, it said she was married to Guillaume de Poitiers, but wrote her songs to her lover, a troubadour and nobleman named Rimbaud of Orange. Comtesse de Dia, who may have been known as Beatrice de Dia, was born around 1175. She could have been daughter to Isoard de Dia. Troubadour songs are often about love and joy. For Comtesse de Dia, many of her songs are about love. In particular, personal and intimate love, betrayal, and conversations between her and a lover. So I'm going to play a recording for you. It's of the song A Chantar, and this is the only surviving music from a woman troubadour. There are a few poems that have been found, but this is the only one with music that was also discovered. This recording is by Evelyn Tubb, Michael Fields, David Hatcher, and the album is The Troubadour and the Nun, Sacred and Secular Reflections on the Feminine Mystery from the Middle Ages to the Renaissance. It's a beautiful piece. So the form of that one was A, B, A, B, C, D, B, or the rhyme scheme of that one. So the translation of this song is, I have to sing of what I would not wish. So bitter do I feel about him whose love I am, for I love him more than anything there is. With him, of no use to me are grace or courtesy, nor my beauty, merit, or understanding, for I am deceived and betrayed just as much as I would rightly be if I had been unwelcoming. So the meaning of that is she's feeling betrayed by the lover. She's highlighting her own good qualities and saying she deserves being betrayed just as much as if she had been like unkind and unwelcoming. So I'll read one more poem of hers. Keep in mind it would have been in French originally, so in English it's not quite the same. And there was no surviving or remaining music for this one, so it's just the poem. I thrive on youth and joy, and youth and joy keep me alive, for my friends the very gayest, which makes me gay and playful. And since I'm true, he should be faithful. My love for him has never strayed, nor is my heart the straying kind. I'm very happy for the man whose love I seek so fine. May God with joy richly repay the man who helped us meet. If anyone should disagree, pay him no heed, listen only to the one who knows one often picks the blooms from which one's own broom's made. The lady who knows about valor should place her affection in a courteous and worthy knight as soon as she has seen his worth. And she should dare to love him face to face, for courteous and worthy men can only speak with great esteem of a lady who loves openly. So now we will go on to religious institutions and Hildegard von Bingen. So religious institutions were a big part of medieval life, as religion was a big part of life for everyone. Many people of all genders lived, worked, and dedicated their lives to these religious institutions. One person who dedicated her life to God and religion was Hildegard of Bingen. She was a very accomplished abbess, a well-known Christian mystic, the author of medical, scientific, and theological literature, a diplomat, a preacher, and one of the few known female composers. She was born in 1098 in what is now Germany, and was dedicated to religious life by her noble parents after having religious visions. After 40 years of a life of virtue and visions, she became the head of the Benedictine monastery at Dizzy Bondenberg. A few years later, with a vision from God, and after gaining support from others in the church, Hildegard moved the nuns away from the monks to a new location at Rupertsburg, where she had more autonomy. It was in this environment that she wrote many hymns and sequences and other musical works. These works were needed and used for religious services and helped to give the convent its own identity. In her life, she composed over 70 songs and a musical play. Together, she referred to her works as the Symphony of the Harmony of Heavenly Revelations. The version of her work that most people look at was written in the 12th century, from around 1175 to 1200 in the Rupertsburg Monastery. It was written on parchment and with early German staff notation. So Hildegard wrote music in the tradition of Gregorian or plain chant, which was monophonic, as you will hear. Instead of using harmony, like chords, as we do now, there were other ways to differentiate and make the pieces beautiful and varied. Multiple notes could be used for one syllable, parts could be emphasized, and parallels and the text and music could be used. So this is a recording of the psalm antiphon, which is the form for the Virgin Mary. And Hildegard wrote a lot of different songs for the Virgin Mary. So I can't quite pronounce the Latin, but it's Nunc Apparri Nobi. The group is Sequentia, and the album is Canticles of Ecstasy. This is the piece you heard a snippet of at the beginning, and this is actually one of Hildegard's shortest works.
Thank you.
So I will read you the English version of the lyrics for this one. Today was opened unto us a shut-up gate, for the serpent drew it tight, and woman choked. Yet from it gleams within the dawn the Virgin Mary's flower. As you might have been able to tell, there's a metaphor for virginity there. So an enclosed or gated garden was a common metaphor for virginity. And with the serpent, it also represents humankind being cut off from God in the Garden of Eden, with the reopening of the gate, meaning Mary's womb and the birth of the Son of God. So with this early manuscript, it starts with today. That was the first lyric, and it was likely composed for a specific feast in the Catholic feast day calendar, and then was later changed to now was opened. So the lyrics would be now was opened unto us, which made this piece more for general use. Along with the Virgin Mary, Hildegard repeatedly composed pieces on certain topics, such as Mary, Saint Ursula, and the 11,000 virgins. This piece we just heard was an antiphone, a short piece sang before or after a piece of scripture. Other forms, all used for performances or mass, are responsories, sequences, hymns, and alleluias. Hildegard wrote pieces for and about feast days of saints, as well as traditional themes like the Virgin. Here is a quote about Hildegard from the second of her Vedas, which, if you remember, is like a biography. Who would not marvel that she wrote a song cycle with sweetest melody? So that might be a bit of a stretch, or it might be true. We don't know. So Hildegard's visions were seen as prophecies of the past, present, and future. And this access to the secrets of God gave her more respect and created demand for her work, which allowed her to participate in other fields that women were not usually granted, such as composing and preaching, which she did a few tours preaching to different people. The field of medieval music and music history still retains the bias of an older generation, biases that women did not play a part, which is why it's important to highlight the lives and work of women like Hildegard von Bingen and Comtesse de Dia. Women in medieval music is definitely a conversation to continue, and we need to broaden it to include other roles like publicists, dancer, patrons, teachers, religious people, and audiences. I hope you enjoyed this topic. Special thank you to Dana and my siblings, Riley and Lauren. We'll head out on the music of Ashantar by Comtesse de Dia. Come on, dude.